Parshas Vayigash.
So the end of Miketz ended off with Binyamin being caught with the goblet. This week, Yehuda starts off that he's speaking very strongly, Rashi says. Second Rashi in the Parsha, he's speaking very strongly. So the question comes up, I don't understand something. It started off that when the brothers thought they were, suspected they would be found, or at least when it was actually found, they're saying languages of get all, we'll all go. We'll all help serve. Already then, Yosef is saying, I'm not going to kill you guys. Not only that, you guys go, and only Binyamin should stay in Eved. So that you're, have the chutzpah to say to him, you're such a achzar, who are you? Who do you think you are? How do you have the chutzpah to say it? The king was so benevolent that he did that. He lowered it. He's not killing anyone. Like you guys said, you might. He's not even holding everyone. He's holding one little scrawny guy. But what's the big deal? What's the big deal? All right, good answer.
Because Yaakov's son was his last son, and he already lost Yosef, so he has to lose another son
again. Oh, no, that's what's driving Yehuda. There's definitely what's driving him to do this. But still, it says that he spoke very harshly to the king. You can't do that to a king. You can't go to the scariest king. You can't go to Saddam Hussein, or who do we know today is as scary. You can't Ahmadinejad. I mean, you can't go to these people and say, you're such a mean guy if he just gave $10 billion to uphold you for a few years in food. So this guy just lowered the punishment. How can you do this? So that's the question.
It's anger.
What?
You're angry, you don't think rationally.
Okay, but if we were standing in front of Stalin or Hitler, I doubt we'd be so quick to do that. Anyways, so they all answer like this, that the Shvatim were actually very calculated. They say at the end of Miketz, as when they're caught and it seems like it's that we are going down over here, they say, oh no, holy kim motzas avoin avodecha. Hashem has God has found the avoin of his servant, of his slaves. In other words, earlier in the story already, they regretted, right? The Shvatim were Jewish people. Things don't just happen. Hashem caused something to happen. So why did the beginning of the story of Yosef and the Tzar start happening? They said, oh, it must be because we were such achzarim. We were so against Yosef that Hashem is doing this. But they didn't regret selling him. They just regretted their action, how harsh they were against him. Now, at the end of Miketz, for this goblet, they said, this must be because we sold him. That's what they said. So that's why they thought, okay, what's the punishment? If we all participated, then we all got to be slaves. Now Yosef is saying, no, I, as the king, I would do no such thing. All you go in Binyamin, and Binyamin stay. So says Yehuda, we are Yidden. We know that things only happen because of Hashem. So this is not because of the selling of Yosef. Why? Because now we're all being let go. Binyamin wasn't even by the selling of Yosef. So that definitely can't be. So there's no reason this should be happening. Therefore, they're going to fight. Not because they're being irrational. On the contrary, this makes no sense that it should be happening. And therefore, maybe we're supposed to go write this. So that's why he was so confident in himself. This is what the Aruch Chaim answers.
Wow.
Aruch Chaim HaKadosh answers. Oh. Fine. The pasuk says, like we said, Yidabano Avdcha Davar, right? Let me go through, and he goes through the whole story. The Medrash even says that he literally started over and said, like, Nachzor Eshoines, to speak over the entire story and figure out everything, and let's try to figure out what went wrong. So what's going on over here? Why are we saying this? So the Ramban says that he was just trying to be Ma'ar Rachma Yosef. He's trying to get Yosef's mercy aroused, that if he goes over the whole story, maybe he'll start to feel bad. Okay, fine. Beis Halevi answers that Yehuda thought that perhaps the translator has not been doing a good job translating. We know there's been a translator the entire time who's translating the Lashon Kodesh into Egyptian. Maybe he didn't do a good job. So therefore, Yehuda wants to start talking now. Why? Because you are like Pari, he says. And therefore, you know what? If Pari understands Lashon Kodesh, got to be that you understand Lashon Kodesh. The problem with this is then what's been going on the entire time? Why is there a translator? If you think Yosef's like Pari and he knows Lashon Kodesh, then what about the entire time? And if he doesn't know, so then why does it help right now? Well, what's changing? That's what's a little bit not understandable. With
pretending that he doesn't know how to speak Hebrew, so they think that he's just like a guy.
Right, that's what Yosef is doing the whole time. But the Beis Halevi is saying that why did Yehuda think to say everything over now? Because he thought maybe the translator didn't do a good job translating. And therefore was a help right now. So if the translator didn't do a good job then, he's going to do a good job now? No, so he was trying to speak straight to him. That what? That he, as if he understands Hebrew. But if he, what happened? If you think he understands Hebrew before, why didn't you translate it? If he doesn't understand Hebrew, what does it help now? So the Aruch Chaim basically says, and there's a famous ma'ase with the Chafetz Chaim, and we have said this ma'ase over, I believe, in Parshas Chayesara. Chafetz Chaim was extremely, extremely, extremely old by the first or second Knesset Gedolah. Yes, I guess similar to what you just had yesterday about the Siyam HaShas. But a big gathering of the Gedolim of Klal Yisrael. And he was there, and it was already a matzav that he was more there as like a figure, as like a figurehead of the party. He was very out of it. People said he was mumbling things the whole time. He was extremely old, and people thought he wasn't really with it. Happens to be afterwards, Rav Baruch Ber said that he was sitting right next to Chafetz Chaim, and he listened the whole time, and Chafetz Chaim was saying on different people's speeches, he doesn't know what he's talking about, he's saying the wrong thing, whatever. Chafetz Chaim was really aware, but it seemed to most people that he wasn't. So the whole thing finishes, and one of the biggest things that they were talking about was, what should they do about the fact of one of the decrees that were going on with the Polish, I forget exactly who it was, what should they do about it? Go talk to the minister, not go talk to the minister, scary thing, whatever. The thing finishes, no real coming out, and the Chafetz Chaim picks his head up. We're going to speak to the minister. Chafetz Chaim says, no one's saying a word. Okay, so they assume that he means like, okay, now we got to figure out who's going, when going, try to get some type of meeting or whatever in a few months. Hopefully, Chafetz Chaim says, we're going now. They're like, hello, meeting, president, like, got to set up, security, whatever.
In Europe, they had a prime minister?
I mean, whoever this was some very, very high official that could have set off with your heads. So, but Chafetz Chaim said go, so we're going. So, they keep going, and they get there, and they carried the Chafetz Chaim. Again, I don't know how far away it was, but the Chafetz Chaim could not walk. They carried the Chafetz Chaim. And in his chair.
Is that wheelchairs?
I guess to get it going faster, whatever. They get the Chafetz Chaim there, they set him down, right? You're by the house now. Now, even if you, especially no appointment, what do you think is going to happen? This is probably going to be hours of waiting. They knock on the door. Chafetz Chaim says, I need to see the minister. To everyone's surprise, the guy's like, okay, let's try to check out what he's doing right now. They check out, and to everyone's surprise, the Yidden for sure, the Goyim, they're ushered right in. They set him down. They set him down. The minister barely has even turned his back on. Right, the Chafetz Chaim starts crying about the Yidden, Golos, how many tzaras we've had, speaking in Yiddish. This guy understands no Yiddish from today till tomorrow. He understands whatever language he understands. And he's going, and someone, even one of the Yidden who was not such a, wasn't the best of people, at least thought, maybe you want translation. The minister said, no, I understood everything. You understood everything? Yeah. When words come from the heart, then they go into the heart. I understood everything. He wanted to abolish the decree. That's what Yehuda was banking on here. Yeah, before it went through a translator. And Yosef was aware. Yosef was there. He heard, right? There was a translator. You're aware. There's a person and there's someone translating. They were aware there was a translator. Yehuda says, Yosef, now I'm talking straight to you. And he started pouring out his heart, hoping that Yosef would understand. That's what Yehuda was banking on. Oh, it says Be'aznei Adini, in the ears of my master. What does that mean? What type of way is that to talk to the king? He needs to go in your ears. Speak, I'll hear it. So the Kliyakar says that he didn't want to embarrass him. That he's going to try to tell him, hello, you've made up a whole story the entire time. So therefore, he goes and tells him and wanted to say it quietly. Like, let's restart the story over. This looks really foolish and ridiculous. The Gur Aryeh and the Re'eim ask, you still can't talk like this to the king. You go whisper in Stalin's ear that you're being a little ridiculous. You can't do that. So someone else says that he wanted to go. Right? We always think about Yosef, the brother, is very simple. If you think about it, if he's the second in command in the world, right? Mitzrayim was the superpower then. So he's the second in command in the world. He for sure had a bunch of guards, maybe huge guard dogs and everything in front of him. And the brothers are like way back, speaking out like this. He said, I would like to come closer beyond the ministers and speak directly to you as like, you know, hoping to get more of a private audience. We know what that means. Yeah. Okay.
Exactly.
Now, the Medrash says that one of Yehuda's tainas was that the Torah says that if a slave steals, you take him into your house to work for you, only if he doesn't have money. But if he has money, you don't. So therefore, Binyamin is a slave. Binyamin stole, that's true. But he has money, so you can't take him into your house. Very nice, Yehuda. Thank you for telling the Egyptian king, the Egyptian viceroy, thank you for telling him Parshas Mishpatim. Why is he going to listen to that? Why is that going to help? What's he hoping to get from that? So the Maradiskan answers very nicely. What is pshat that the Torah said this? Why does the Torah say such halacha? That if a ganev, if a guy steals and he doesn't have, then you take him to your house. But if he does have, then you don't. Why? So he says like this. When a guy steals and he doesn't have money, then he's stealing because he really doesn't have that. He's not really a ganev. He's not really a thief. He didn't have money, so he stole. So you know what? Take him into your house. Let him grow up a little bit better in real society. He's not going to take from you because now he has by living in your house. And he'll become a better person and hopefully he'll be able to get on his feet after he gets out of your house. But if a guy is a thief and he has, then why is he stealing? Because he's a thief. The Torah says, no, don't take him into your house then. You don't need to have a thief in your house. So therefore, Yehuda was trying to tell Yosef. He wasn't trying to tell him Mashtik HaTayra. He's trying to tell him, logically, it doesn't make sense. Why do you want a thief in your house? It's one thing if we were poor people, we didn't have money. Good, so it could be Biyom and stole the cup because in order to strike it rich, to have some money. But we have money. Why are you still must be a thief? You don't want him. You don't want him.
That's what he's trying to tell him.
Why do we say that by going also?
What do you mean?
It's not by going also. Going just to give me some.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whether.
Yeah.
Whatever case.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's a true point. That might get in. That might get into the question. In other words, what does Torah help Yosef? Even if Bnei Noach say that, but Bnei Noach run differently. This is saying he wasn't getting to Torah. He was getting to the logic. The logic of it, it makes sense. Why would you want a thief who's stealing in order to steal? Right? If you don't have if you have money and you're stealing in order to steal. Why would you want that in your house? Yes. He's trying to get him to throw out Binyamin. Okay. Vilzaves aviv vames says that Oyvei, if you don't send Binyamin home, then Yaakov is going to lose it and is going to die. Rashi says Binyamin's going to die on the way, just like Rachel. Frechtem and Shleman, who's a Pirush and Rashi, he asks, just because Rachel died on the way, that's why Binyamin's going to die? Secondly, Rachel died because of the curse of Yaakov. So certainly what does that have to do with Binyamin dying on the road? Not only that, we know she specifically died then and there so that Klai Yisrael could later daven. Again, why would Binyamin die on the road? What correlation would there be? So the Alkut Shemaini says that the nusach used over here is that Yaakov said, you'll take him and perhaps something bad will happen. Says the Alkut, perhaps a gzera was nigzar, a decree was decreed on the children of Rachel. Because you see, already, the mother died on the way. Yosef died on the way. As far as Yaakov's concerned, Yosef died, and where on the way? Why? Because he sent Yosef to go tell the brothers and didn't come back. That's also on the way. So now Binyamin's on the way. He said maybe there's a family decree. There's a family decree on Rachel and her children to disappear on the way. The Gur Arye says, similarly, once the mother died on the way, you see that maybe their family can't deal with the road. Okay. Yosef reveals himself.
Rachel died on the way?
Yeah.
I think she died of birth.
That's why she died, but she died. It was during the road trip, right? Perhaps you could say it was the birth pain on the road. Maybe they would have been settled and a house would have been different. Yosef reveals himself. Ani Yosef. What happened now? Why is Yosef revealing himself now? right? Ramban even says, Yosef, Mitzrayim's not so far. Yosef didn't want to go visit. He didn't go send letters. What happened?
Because he couldn't hold it in any longer.
Ah, very good. That's what the Pasuk says. Right. Correct. But what did they say now that triggered that? You're saying, in other words, the story was just going on too long. That's, I think, the Pasuk said. That's, I think, most people understand. The charade had been going on too long, and Yosef, okay, that could definitely be Pasuk said. The answer is, all the years, he thought that Yaakov was involved. What does he know? He's a kid, gets sent on the way, his brothers take him, throw him into a pit, sell him. As far as he's concerned, maybe Yaakov orchestrated this entire thing. And he's not going to go against his father, the Gadol Adar. They were all recognized as Gadol Adar. Certainly Yaakov was the Gadol Adar, not just amongst himself, amongst the world. He's not going to dare go visit him if Yaakov sent him away. He's not going to send the letter if Yaakov sent him away. All of a sudden now, when Yehuda is saying over the story, do you know what gets mentioned for the first time? Yaakov said, we can't send Binyamin. You know why? Oy vey, you sent one away from me already. And I said, oy vey, he got ripped up and I haven't seen him. Now you're going to take Binyamin. He's also going to die. Oy vey. Yosef hears that. For the first time he hears that Yaakov thinks that he's dead. Not that Yaakov orchestrated anything. That's what caused him to be able to no longer hold on to anything and come straight out. That's what's pshat. Now, it's a different pshat, but it's uptight in the whole thing. We know it says, Ani Yosef Ha'idavichai, Zok the Medrash, so to loss in Lavai. Hashem is going to, eventually we're going to realize, Hashem's going to say, I'm Hashem, and everyone's going to be embarrassed just like over here. What's going on? I think it's the Beis Halevi who says that, what happened over here? These people said, and there's really another answer to why he revealed himself now. These people, the brothers are saying, what's going to be with Yaakov Avinu? What's going to be? Yosef says, huh? You guys are worried about what a father's going to think about his son? Hello? Ani Yosef. I am Yosef. Ha'od Avichai. Why is he repeating it? Right? That's what everyone asks. You just said he's alive. Why is he repeating it? He's repeating it because he's not repeating it. He's saying, is my father still alive? How have you been able to... He's been able to deal with the fact... You didn't care about him then, whether he could deal with the fact of losing a son or not. You care about it now all of a sudden? That's what's going on. In other words, contradiction. Contradiction. Who are you? Are you living up to yourself? Zok the Medrash, Kach Los Elavai. Hashem's going to bring us up. He's going to show us a video of ourselves. And he's going to show how the malachim on the side. You know what? The laughing track is not going to be a laughing track. The laughing track is going to be the malachim laughing at how many contradictions we live in our life. Do we go? Are we in the middle of benching? And we go, V'nei Yerushalayim, oh, no. Sorry, I was benching. Okay, so that's bad enough on its own. Sorry you were benching. Hello, you're talking to God. And sorry I was benching. Okay, that's one problem on its own. But then, next day, you slap your kid for talking a little benching. That's the biggest contradiction in the world. Or you scold him for benching. Hello, like, you care about benching or you don't care about benching? This is in davening. This is how we apply ourselves to our learning. This in anything, in relationships with people. Do we care about it or not? That's what's going to happen. We're going to be one big contradiction, La'asulavai. That's what is coming out from the story with Yosef and the brothers, and the same embarrassment that they couldn't face him, that's what's going to happen, Chas v'shalom, to us, La'asulavai, that we won't be able to face the embarrassment, Pasha, of Hashem. The Kotzker Rebbe is known for his bluntness. Says that the father is going to see that ein hanar v'meis. Now it's tamasay shaila all over when we call someone a nar. Even if they're older, right? Binyamin is extremely old now. He has 10 kids. The Zohar Punkt happens to say that he has no kids now. But the pashup shot is not that. The pashup shot is that he had 10 kids right now, and he call it. So it's tamasay shaila. Why are you calling him a nar? But what about the kids? What about the 10 kids? What about? Hello, they're like everyone said, there could be 10 Yisoyimim at home. What's going to be? They don't say that. They say Yaakov's going to be worried about his kid. How come? So the Kutzker Rebbe said that you see that kids are not concerned about their father as their father is about them. Yaakov will be pained about losing Binyamin. The kids, it'll be sad. Move on in life. Yerusha, no, he was old. Kutzker Rebbe said this. He said in order to answer someone why someone was bothered why his kids aren't taking care of him in his old age. And this is what he explained to him. That you see, unfortunately, that's the way it is. The Teva Olam is a father is more concerned about his sons than his sons are about him himself. Kishuna Eli, Yosef calls them over. Why did he call them over? To show them he was Mohul. Stamazel, it's a whole Shaila. First of all, he could have been from B'nai Keturah. The other children of Avram, they deal with that. He could have been, what about all the Mitzrayim? All the Mitzrayim had to have a bris mila by now. Could be they didn't know that. Some say that it was the other signs of the Lashon Kodesh and the different things together with the mila. Akoponim, there are others who explain other reasons why he called them close. The Dazakanim says he didn't want to embarrass them in front of the Mitzrayim to let them know that they had sold, you sold our king? So therefore he called them closer. Some say he didn't want Binyamin to hear. Perhaps not to embarrass them in front of Binyamin, because Binyamin never knew, because they made a cherem, but they're not going to tell anyone. Maybe not that. Maybe Yosef was a part of this cherem, they say, and therefore Yosef's maybe not even tell Binyamin, because the cherem, the excommunication that would exist on someone who tells someone, so I'm not even tell Binyamin. It could be Binyamin never knew. Ramban says Yaakov never knew. Never. Never. Imagine that. 22 years Yosef's gone, they see each other. There are Mepharshim who say that, do you know that in Vayechi, beginning of next week, Yosef's called. Yosef's called what? I mean, like, is it something special? Yeah. Yosef, 17 years Yaakov, is finally around the Mitzrayim. And those are the best years of his life. Yosef barely went. You know why? He was afraid that Yaakov would corner him and say, oh, so what happened to you? What happened all these years? Where did it disappear to? And he did not, either out of cherem or more from them to protect the covenant of his brothers, he did not want to be forced into having to tell his father. And therefore, he held back his emotions. Most of his young life, he didn't see his father. And he held back his emotions for this. So that's another reason that fits with what we're saying, with Binyamin didn't know, and Yaakov did not know either. What? 22.
Just partially why he pained his father, because really it was like not clear what he did.
10 o'clock. What do you mean?
That he pained his father, like, making him give up Binyamin. And he asked for Binyamin also. You know?
There are other things that Yosef gets punished for, because they said Avdecha a bunch of times over here. They said, they kept saying, your servant, referring to Yaakov, and Yosef was quiet. So that's another punishment. I forget what the Mepharshim said. There's another punishment that he got for that. Because they said Avdecha. I hear what you're saying also about Binyamin, I'm not sure. But the Avdecha, they definitely say that he got punished for. Well, yeah. Yeah, I. What was he supposed to do as part of the plan? Good Shaila. But Lamaisa Hashem is very medactic, and he got punished for that. So it says that he sends back 10 donkeys laden with things back to Mitzrayim, back to Eretz Yisrael, to his father. Don't worry, come, we'll give you everything. So for Ektamar Al-Diskin, first of all, you don't eat, right? We said it's 3 days. You don't eat that much food for 3 days. That's one. Two, they're going to need to come back with everything. Yosef told them, forget everything. But Lamai said, there's basic possessions you want to come back with. You're making them have to come back. You send 10 RV trucks to have them come back with 15? What's the point? Why are you doing that to them? So the Mar Al-Diskin says very nicely, no, he wanted Kleiso to travel in the best matziv. He had them set up rest stops, like an oasis in the desert. Okay, they sent one donkey, they left it here. Okay, Mr. Donkey, we're tying you up, you're going to stay here for a few days. Then another one. It's like by each mile marker, they left the donkey so they would be able to eat easily on the way back and not have to deal with any problems. That's what he says. Someone who... I don't see it right now, but someone wanted to tie it up, perhaps. Oh, the Meiri. The Meiri says... The Meiri says, from the fact that there was only 10, Vaistais Binyamin didn't come back. Binyamin stayed in Mitzrayim. Because he only sent 10 donkeys. But if Binyamin came, he should have sent 11. But he says, Mamela, Yehuda was not Mekayim as tonight. Yehuda says, I'm going to bring him back. Think about it. If Yehuda never brought him back to Eretz Yisrael, and Yaakov had to come back down to Mitzrayim, and now he sees him, so Yehuda was not Mekayim his tonight. I don't have more written here, but I wonder if that's a chilek of what the Gemara says, that we know Yehuda's bones rolled all the years in the Midbar until something with Reuven, a Gemara, I forget, a Makkas or something like that. But I wonder if it has what to do with this, that because it's not just that. Usually that Gemara, I think, the explanation is because Yehuda said in a Tzadik's words, I'm a claim anyways. Even though he fulfilled it, but the Meiri is saying he didn't fulfill it. He didn't bring it back. Okay, but other Mepharshim learned that he definitely came back. Agav, it says, Vayofa Glibai. So the general taich is that Yaakov didn't believe him. Rabban says, Vayofa Glibai. He says, basically, I think what he's saying, Yaakov had a heart attack. Had a heart attack and they had to calm, because what happens, the heart constricts and he can't deal with it, and the male that he passed out. Then they had to play a song and say nice words in order to get things to open up slowly, and then Yaakov was able to work out. Well, open up. Again, that's obviously not the Pashim shot, but that's how the Ramban learns.
With Sarah, right?
Yeah, it could be, yeah. The music.
Sarah,
yeah, Sarah Masasha, yeah, she played the music, yeah. Yeah.
There's like the whole question of like if he blessed her to live forever, is she still alive nowadays?
Exactly. Yeah. There are stories. They do have stories. First of all, there's a story way later. Navi, by the time of I think Sheva ben Bichri, who is somewhere through the Malachim of Klal Yisrael, and he ran away and he needs to hide. And I don't remember who, maybe Yoav, the general of David, I don't remember who. This is hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years later. There's an old woman who comes to say a parable to try to why he shouldn't attack the whole city because of Sheva ben Bichri. And almost all the Mepharshim say this is Sarach Bashasa. So it's definitely that she was living hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years later, that's for sure. But yes, there are stories of a lady, I think they're documented stories. Yeah, they say that she did end up living. How does Yaakov finally believe? All the Mepharshim say, because Yosef sends a sign, he got a sign of Egla Rufa, and that's how Yaakov remembered that's what they were learning, and you see that Yosef was learning. The idea is that Yaakov saw that Yosef still had some ruchnis, because it's a little bit of a shiloh, what exactly was the simon? Was the simon the wagon? Was the simon the actual animals that were sent? Vinishvi, the point is that Yosef was staying and learning, and that was important to Yaakov. Yaakov said, if he is a king, I don't care if this is making a difference to me, is he still Yosef? Is he still Yosef amidst Mitzrayim? If he's still Yosef, then I'm interested. If he's not, I'm not interested. So good, he saw he's still Yosef from the Egal Rufa and the Ruchnis. There was a Maisa with the Vilna Gaon that there was a Chassan who got married, and unfortunately, not too long after that, he disappeared for many, 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 many years. One day, he comes back, and everyone's like, wow, this is him. It was basically him. You know, they start asking questions. Mamish, wow, he's answering all the things. This is him. Hello. What about it's not him? The father, the mother, the sister, the cousin, this aunt, this bubby, this happening. Wow, he's back. This is great. Let's celebrate. The Vilna Gaon said, ask him if he remembers where he sat in Shul. And he didn't know. Vilna Gaon said, I think he was saying it based on Yaakov and Yosef. Someone is only someone. If someone's really someone, he should be able to remember a little bit of Ruchnis. If this guy had no Ruchnis, he's just remembering the fact that it's not him. And sure enough, the imposter admitted in Baruch Hashem he saved from a Hashish Ish having to go to a strange man. Shaul ben Haknanis. It's right, it says the 70 names of the 6 parsha of all those who went down. Shaul ben Haknanis, Rashi says, who is this? Shimon married Dina, and that's who they had. Now, it was his sister. So how's he let her marry her? So they answer that since really Yosef and Dina were switched, and it means literally they were switched. It's a whole beautiful shtick of Torah that says literally they were switched. Why? Because it says like this. We'll get back to what we were talking about in a second.
Holding that Dina was supposed to be a boy.
Yeah, but it's not just supposed to be. It says, El B'nai Le'a, these are Shor Le'a, Sheyod Le'Yakov, that were born to Yaakov, father of the Ace Dina Vita, and Dina his daughters. So Rashi says, it puts the boys on the mother, and the girl it puts on the father. Why? Says Rashi, Hascharim Tal B'Le'a, Hanakev Tal V'Yakov, La Metra teaches you, Isha Mazras Tchila, that if the woman gives for the child first, then it will be a boy. But if the man gives for the child first, you'll let it be, it'll be a girl. So the Mefarshim ask on Rashi, I don't understand. But Yosef and Dina were switched. That means that Yosef was really a girl and Dina was really a boy. So Mimela, you're saying that it's Dina, Bita, and Yaakov. Dina really came about through Leah. Dina really came about through Leah as Yosef, and then switched to being a girl. So what is the proof? That's what they asked. They go on an answer, at least you can take the nekuda out of it. But come on, from all the questions, you see that it wasn't just stam and nace that the child switched inside. It's literally, we don't know what this means, supernaturally, Hashem made an ace that literally, the fetus inside of this body literally switched places with the fetus inside of that body. Right? So Mamela, that means that Shimon and Dina were not really brothers and sisters. Because Dina happened to have come out of Leah, but she was not conceived in Leah. She was conceived in Rachel. So therefore, they are not brother and sister. Shimon and Yosef, Fakir, Shimon and Yosef are brother and brother. They came from the same mother. Yosef bowed out in the middle and switched to Rachel. See, right, but that wouldn't ruin this.
Really?
Maybe because cutting Montera, I don't have it worked out exactly, but maybe I'll cut Montera.
It's not an issue if it's from only from father.
Maybe that's cutting Montera. I'm not sure. It's a good question. Anyways, fine. That's what he says. So I'm sorry. So now back to here. No, I'm sorry. Good. Fine. That's the answer. Okay. A little bit later, right before this, it says Yehuda's kids, right? Yehuda, Erva, Aina, Mishael, Vaferet, Vazarach. Yehuda had five kids. Now, who are the five? He had three. Then two of them died. The pasuk says right here, Vayomas, Erva, Aina, Beretz, Canaan. And then he had Feretz and Zarach. Why are we mentioning the kids who died? What's it so important? Later on in the Torah, in Parshas Nasai, maybe, it says that Aaron had Nadav Aviyu Lazari Samar. Nadav Aviyu died, and then you only had a Lazari Samar. Why are you saying that? So the Trumas Hadashin wrote to someone who asked him this question. If I explain to you every single place that the Torah throws in a little bit of extra information, then we'd be going on and on and on and on and on, because this is Derech HaTorah. But I will answer you in this case. Answer is because the Torah loves Zera Yehuda. The Melucha came from Yehuda. So anything about Yehuda, the Torah loves to talk about. So therefore, yeah, it's going to go mention the Yehuda had kids who died. Because, not the sad Shabbat, because look, the Melucha. Let's talk about the kingship. The kingdom had a couple kids. Nebuchadnezzar, let's move on. Aaron, Kahuna. The Torah loves Kahuna, Zerah Aaron. He had a couple kids. No, Nebuch, they died. Now we'll talk about the rest of them. That's why I mentioned this, right? We could imagine that anything, you know, the way they talk about the royalty in England today, they might talk about some good, some bad, but the point is, it's all about the royalty. So too, the Torah loves talking about Kahuna and Malchus, right? What do we see better than Yafas Yichasan Shel Avdi Avis Mitarasan Shabbanim, that it talks about the whole Maisa with Eliezer? So certainly we can understand this also. Okay, very interesting thing. The Gemara says, Medrash says, right, Yosef brings his chariot, he greets Yaakov. If you don't see your friends for a month, says the Gemara, brachas, you make a shachyanu. You don't see your friends for a year, you say baruch mechaim esam. The Marsha is Masber, what's pshat in the year? Because your friend went through Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, and he's still alive. So that's a Gevalde Gazach. So that's why Baruch Mechai Mason, beautiful. Lamaisa, we don't make these brachas.
So can that also be even if it's like a day?
Correct. Yeah, exactly. Within a couple weeks, exactly. Yes. So we don't make this bracha today. Why? So some explain, because you need, it needs to be a friend that you're extremely happy from in order to make this bracha. So Ven, very good. Let's say I see a guy named Reuven, and I'm not so happy, so I don't make the bracha. Reuven is going to think, hey, he's not making a bracha because he's not happy for me. Must be he's not my friend. And he's going to become extremely saddened. Memela, they made. So what? I should make the bracha when I'm not really happy just to make him feel good? Can't make a bracha at all. Memela, they were good, he's there. Then no one should make the bracha anymore.
Oh.
That's why, yeah, Shachiyonu also. I mean, you do say, you do hear people saying, I'm all Baruch Chaim Mason, why? I haven't seen you in a long time, whatever. Shachiyonu is good, used, but when a kid is born, boy, girl, yes, no, different hug him. Use it by a suit, a car, maybe a special things. It's definitely used. But by this thing of a friend, you could say it b'li shem malchus. But to say with shem malchus, we don't make the bracha anymore. Okay, a couple things to end off with. The people of Mitzrayim, at the way into the parasha, Rashi learns that it's going back to the first 2 years of the famine because of the famine last 2 years. Ramban learns, no, it's talking, the famine lasted the whole 7 years. It's talking about the last 2 years of the famine. Vinishvi, they come to Yosef, please, just buy us a servant. Give us food. Well, mice, if you think about it, what happens is they end up being sharecroppers. They don't end up being slaves. Why not? So, I don't remember who, but someone explains that you see that Yosef was really the first person who fought against slavery. He did not want them to be slaves because he knew himself what it was to be a slave. So, everybody said, no, you're going to be sharecroppers. You'll have to give a lot, but you're not going to be slaves because he knew what it was to be a slave. You see how important it is to take into account the feelings of putting yourself in someone else's shoes. A similar thing that happened then, it says, but Yosef didn't buy the Kayanim's land. In other words, the priests of Mitzrayim, he didn't buy their land. Why not? I mean, we have this today, even that the clergy get special privileges. Why did Yosef do this? So some say because he did the specifics that Shevet Levi would not have to work later on. Later on Mitzrayim, Shevet Levi is going to be excused. Why? Clergy. So therefore, at least as a Malkum, so some apply, so he shouldn't have to work. That's why he left the clergy Mitzrayim now. Didn't have to work.
What was the clergy?
The priests. The priests, the rabbis, or whoever, their officers, whatever synagogues they had or whatever. Targum Anderson says that he did it as a karsa toif because they, in the mice with Ashes Paitifar, they wanted Yosef killed and they tried to bring a whole raya. And the clergy said, no, it's very simple to know how Yosef is potter, a whole thing, his clothes, her clothes, who's his ripped, whatever it is exactly. And they found that really Yosef was supposed to be innocent. And that's at least why he didn't get killed. The Paitifar said, but I'm too embarrassed, let me at least throw you in jail so that my wife doesn't get embarrassed. But the Mela, since he had a Akar Sataif to the clergy, that's why he let them off. You see also the Akar Sataif we have to have even to a guy, a Gutin, Shabbos.